this illustrates the ways in which our identities are formed in relation to how we perceive ourselves and also how others see us. In the case of the kind of clothes we wear, or how others hear us, in the example of the ways in which we speak. The relationship between how we see ourselves and how others see us is very important in the kind of processes that are involved in looking at how identities are formed and the ways in which we have some investment in an identity at a particular time. Karim, you started your response with an emphasis on some of the structures which create the possibility of certain identities rather than others. Another dimension of the formation of identity might give more emphasis to the personal element in the equation between the personal and the social. What would you say, Wendy, that the sort of examples of ways in which identities are formed, which might give more emphasis to the ways in which we engage with a particular identity?
Yes, I think the way other people see us is hugely important. This starts long before we are language-speaking young people who are beginning to organize and understand the world around us. The way we are treated by other people, it becomes embedded in our experience. And a lot, because one of the definitions of being human is that we are self-conscious individuals, we actually learn a lot about who we are from the way people treat us. As George Herbert Mead pointed out, we have an I, which is the experiencing part of us, and the me, which is the response to the way we are experienced. And that means that we are very, very influenced by the people around us who, as it were, hold up a mirror to us through which we see ourselves. It's the way that they actually hold up that mirror, but it's also how we imagine they are responding to us, and both of those things intermingle to create, over time, a sense of our identities. That's one emphasis, and that emphasis is on our social relations with others. But psychologists also emphasize how we develop through particularly childhood and how we acquire the basic kind of building blocks of ourselves from the moment we're born. And a lot of this happens without our conscious awareness of it. It's often joked that however hard we try not to be like our parents, we'll end up being more like them than we think. And that's because it happens at a level which is below conscious awareness. And so through identifications, we actually acquire many of the building blocks which create us.
I think what I find interesting in what Wendy's saying is that there are certain identities we may think we have which we can take for granted, the most obvious ones being things around gender, perhaps ethnicity, perhaps whether we're able-bodied or disabled or not. So, for example, we've both said that we only recognized ourselves as being white or British when we were somewhere else, where actually it was brought home to us. I think there's another point which might be helpful, which is that Goffman, for example, is often criticized for sometimes suggesting that there are only a certain number of roles or ways in which we can perform these roles and so on. But in fact, it may well be that through social practices, through, for example, practices of consumption, various kinds of identities or roles are created for us all the time. For example, through, you know, whether we kind of buy our clothes at store type X or Y, whether we drive a particular kind of car, where we live in the country, how we speak, what kinds of schools people send their children to, and so on. All these things are ways in which people can fashion their identity in the social world. But sometimes these options or these choices are offered to us through things like advertising, the media, and so on.
But there are points at which there are very severe constraints on how free we are to fashion ourselves in these situations, when you say about the cars we drive and the clothes we buy. But that shifts the emphasis from perhaps the processes, the personal, individual level processes of identity formation, to what is available in the social world. When you suggest that there are points at which we might not know what's happening, we might not be aware of the identities which we are actually taking up, how else might we look at what's happening in these situations, Wendy?
Well, I think that most of the time we are not aware of the self by which we live. I think it's very popular at the moment, not just in social science, but in broad culture, certainly in the West, for people to say, I can be whoever I choose. And the idea is that through the clothes that you wear and just the performances, in a sense, that the, who you enact yourself as being amongst other people, that you can create an identity for yourself, which is chosen. Now, psychoanalysis emphasizes this 9/10 below the surface, and I think the implications of that for identity is to say, well, most of the time we are who we are without even being aware that this is what's going on. And if we tried to change those things, we'd be hard put to it, because we've never formulated them in language, we've never been very conscious of them, they just are.
I also agree that there are limits to what we can do, but I think I'd approach it slightly differently, which is that sometimes we get the impression, or perhaps it's better referred to as an illusion, that we can fashion our identities in any way we want. But there are things about our lives which are actually very, very hard to change. For example, no matter what anybody says, it's actually very hard to actually change physically how old you are. You can lie about it, but nevertheless, you know, it doesn't actually change the truth, I don't think.
You can use anti-wrinkle cream.
That does raise the question of the new technologies which are about actually manipulating identities. So not only can people have nips and tucks to make them look younger than their chronological age, but people can change sex and pass off themselves as women or men in a way which completely goes against the old idea that a sexual identity was something that was biologically fixed for life. And this has given people new realms of choice which we wouldn't have dreamt of until recently.
This is an element of change that we didn't identify in the earlier discussion about changes perhaps over the last 50 years, is the advent of new technologies that have enabled, for example, reproductive technologies, which have enabled women in their later years to give birth, or women who had thought they would be infertile to give birth. That's another component in the changes which are taking place. Also, the communications technology that so speed up the process of communication across the world.